God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we ask that you would bring comfort to the families of those killed in this latest attack of a child committing murder against other children and a teacher. We'd ask that you would bring your peace that transcends all understanding upon them, that you would comfort them in their weeping, that this would be an opportunity for people to understand the brokenness of a broken people, broken by sin. Now, Lord, you would help us not hate the girl who did this, but to also pray for her, her soul. I have to believe, I hate to say it, that she made her decision, and that she will spend eternity apart from you. And yet I can't pretend to understand your holy and perfect justice. Not that way. But I sadly think that's the case. Father God, let me then substitute silence for this wisdom I think I have. And let your wisdom just take over. Father, I pray for other kids who feel so hopeless and so unheard and so unseen and so misunderstood and so unwanted that they feel the only hope for significance is an act of brutality like this, revenge or reckoning. I would pray that adults around them would maybe stop spending time on, say, Fox News or on my podcast, and instead devote it to working with kids. And if they're not able to work with kids or not comfortable with that, then supporting adults who do. God, I'd ask that you would speak into the hearts of people who have seen kids who are stragglers, who don't have friends, they're being raised digitally. Maybe you've given someone a sense. The Holy Spirit's convicting them now as they think of a child in the neighborhood or at their children's school or church. I hope that you would bring to them wisdom on how they can help rescue the least of these before Satan completes his work, as I think he did with this girl. Overall, and mostly, Lord, forgive us for letting the world get this way. For you do tell us, he who grants mercy will receive it. I pray this in the name of your Son, who came here and experienced brutality and paid a debt that we can never pay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's a woman who has an online presence under the name Pagliacci the Hated. She is a researcher, an investigator. Her real name is Anna Slatz. She made contact with the boyfriends of the girl who committed these murders and then took her own life. And in doing so, she got access to a manifesto this girl wrote. I'm not going to read it. You can find it if you choose. I'm not going to read it because she wanted it read. I'm not going to say her name because she wanted her name said. I appreciate it when other people in media refuse to say the names of mass murderers like this. because just as is the case in so many of these instances, this girl idealized and idolized some young mass murderers. She had pictures of them. Shrines, maybe. Digital shrines. But Anna, in her research, in talking with this boyfriend, came across the fact that they'd had a relationship for 2 years. And she believes him when he says he tried to stop her from doing this shooting. And she believes him, given the timeline and the investigation she's done, that he didn't learn about this until after the shooting had occurred. Now, it's a risky thing to say this woman has all this information, and yet here's the thing. She was 5 hours ahead of Reuters in identifying the name of this girl. She was right about her age, as the Mockingbird media was wrong. She was right about some of the details in the manifesto that have come out. So I'm looking at her reporting. I'm seeing it substantiated by a guy named Andy Ngo, who's an investigative journalist who I find to be very credible. I will tell you in outline form that it's quite evident if you know the language of Discord. Discord used to be just a gaming server. It is now a community, and it is a dark community. This 15-year-old girl speaks the language of male incels. Oh, and incidentally, the rumor that she was gender confused appears to have been wrong. Her boyfriend says she wasn't confused. She knew she was a girl. But her writing uses the terminology of Discord, which is where she spent apparently a lot of time. She was apparently a digital being. And in this reporting, Anna came across this girl's feelings about her family. She didn't feel wanted. She didn't feel loved. She had horrible things to say about her parents, things I won't repeat. And she expressed like being the wrong child of her family. Now, you can say this teen angst. You could ask me, are you defending her? No. No, in my prayer to the Lord, I admit, I think she's in hell. I can't defend this. She said that she'd planned suicide, but she felt that this would be less boring. That's a very Discordian statement. I don't want to read her manifesto. I wanted to give you an outline. She called a fellow mass murderer the ultimate saint. Oh, her boyfriend. He says that some of the images being shared of her online are either manipulated or meant to make her look bad or ugly, so he's offered some other images that show her as just a little girl, a confused little girl. Anna, in her reporting, and she came across this man or got this manifesto from this boyfriend, so what Anna's reporting, she describes a family life. And here I want to quote Anna. Okay, now that I've gotten some assurances that I'll not be suspended for posting the final pages, here's pages 5 and 6, the final 2 pages of the manifesto. This is important for you to know that she had this, was very careful putting it out because she didn't want to be banned by social media platforms. The young girl, the murderer, talks about her extremely difficult relationship with her father, notes that her parents had divorced multiple times, that her mother struggled with drug addiction. She also implies her father was an alcoholic. Anna notes, court records I've seen show she's telling the truth about the repeat divorces in her family and ongoing legal battles between her mother and her father. Again, this is Anna's reporting. Andy Ngo confirms it. And she's been right on many of these details. This is not right about the parents. We're going to learn about this. I'd love to talk to them. Multiple divorces, drug addiction, feeling unwanted, and being raised digitally. But at least she had her boyfriend. At least she had him. Oh, about that. They never met. He lives in a different country. Incidentally, I don't think 15-year-olds need boyfriends or girlfriends. But her boyfriend existed on the digital screen, like many of her, quote, friends. Friends who, like her, feel so disconnected from this world that they feel much safer in a digital environment. Our daughter at one point was a shut-in. And so damaged was she from something that happened with her, or rather to her, that she became a shut-in. Digital friends were safe, because they could only hurt you a little bit. After all, you could block them. If they hurt you or they disappointed you, you didn't need to see them at school the next day. You just pressed a button and they couldn't contact you anymore. Then you could block their social accounts and not need to see their happiness and their satisfaction. Really safe. You could have a boyfriend who loves you deeply but would never expect to have sex with you because it couldn't happen. Well, not actual sexual union. The emptiness of these relationships, the pseudo-love. Again, I don't think 15-year-olds need boyfriends or girlfriends, but think of this. The love of her life, 2 years, that's a long time. You're 15 and you've been in a relationship 2 years, that's a long time. I mean, if you were 30, that would be like being in that relationship for 10 years. She never felt that, how you'd describe it. You're in a room with someone you care for, you're attracted to, you feel supported by, you feel loved by. You're in that room. What is that? Is it a buzzing? How's it manifesting you? A warmness in the chest? A tingling in the limbs? Never felt that. Never held his hand. Never brushed up against his shoulder to see if he might put his arm around her. Never had that experience. I'm not excusing what she did. I'm describing tens of millions of kids in a country where a lot of people spend a lot of time talking about how screwed up Washington, D.C. is, how messed up the government is, the taxes, what they're doing to kids in schools, and about 5% of people volunteer with kids. And I can tell you, something happens when kids feel seen, heard, understood, that they know that you're thrilled to be able to help them, and that as an adult, you're willing to bring a bigger mind to bear to help solve problems. I also know that Satan's looking for the stragglers, because the stragglers are easy to turn into soldiers. He's looking for the same kids that sex traffickers are looking for. So let's talk about what they see, so we can get there first. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. It is not my intent to shame people who are not working with kids. Shame doesn't work. I don't know your life circumstances. I don't know your times of days, etc. I don't know your comfort level around kids. It is my intent to hope to get out of God's way and simply respond to what God asked me to say today. I could send you the show rundown. This wasn't it. There's a bunch of audio that Randy has pulled kindly and that Alex worked on, and it's just right now not being used because when I opened my mouth, God said, talk about the school shooting and talk about my children. Talk about the least of these. So we just spent in the last segment some time discussing a report from an online reporter, digital reporter, investigative reporter who has talked with someone she says is this girl's boyfriend, this girl who committed these acts of murder. And her view of her family life, and this has been backed up by court records, this reporting has been confirmed by Andy Ngo, describing a very unhappy childhood. And unhappy childhoods happen all the time. 99% of people do not go out and commit murder. Praise God. These numbers will increase. They have to. It is not good that man is alone, or 15-year-old girls. It is not good that she thought she had a boyfriend, and for 2 years she did, but they never met, they never held hands. And again, I'm not saying 15-year-old girls need boyfriends. I don't think they do. But to never be in the same room? How lonely that must be to think, I have love and yet I'm not fulfilled. I have love and yet I don't feel it right because it's not real. Because it's apart by thousands of miles. You have intellectual interests and perhaps conversation. So Satan loves to get in between Christians and God and to take us off course just tiny little bits at a time and by degrees. But man, does he love the stragglers. And you see them. Now, this is the part I do not intend to shame you, but I ask you to pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you if there are kids around you who need you. And I can hear it because I know people say this. Wait, what teenage kid cares what I, a 50 or 60-year-old person, thinks? What use have they for me? My own kids don't want to talk to me. A prophet's never respected in their hometown. I'm still struggling to rebuild a relationship with my daughter, to whom I gave everything I possibly could and made mistakes as a father, as all fathers do. It's a funny thing. I get much better treated by the kids in the many youth groups I work with than sometimes my own daughter. That's to be expected. We have a strained relationship. She's 20, I'm 57. You might have the same, well, I don't even have my own kids. Here's what I want to present to you. This girl who committed these murders, do you think she just became sad that this happened in the last few weeks? And again, I don't mean to take attention away from the pain of the victims. This is where our prayers belong. I don't want to see more victims. So I want to look at this root cause, these stepping back, this chain analysis, because we always focus on the last act of desperate people. But what about the acts prior to this? If these court records are correct and Anna's reporting is correct, there's been multiple divorces and her mother was a drug addict and her father, she suggests, was an alcoholic. People probably saw the manifestations of this and did what? Is there some record? I hope, I pray there is, of a counselor reaching out. It doesn't need to be a counselor or an adult. I do suggest, and I'll get into this, that we're going to find out maybe one day that she was having a bunch of psychotropic drugs. Why? Because that's a correlation with these shootings. Unfortunately, it's just true. I say that as someone whose daughter is just about off of the psychotropic drugs prescribed by psychiatrists. God willing, she'll be off by December, but let me describe a little bit more. There is a boy I'm going to make up. I'm going to take a character or two, traits of boys I work with, and I'm going to make up a boy right here in front of you. All these events, all of them happened but I'm amalgamating them to anonymize. He's dropped off at one of my youth groups an hour and a half before it starts, because his parents don't want to be bothered to bring him when traffic is intense in North Idaho, which doesn't have that bad of traffic. So he's dropped off an hour and a half ahead of time and sits in the lobby by himself. None of his peers are there. It's an hour and a half early. So he sits on his phone. When kids begin to roll in, and some of the things are set up like the video games, he heads straight over to an AI headset and puts it on, and that's what he does as kids gather. He's on an AI headset. Oh, and other kids will come and join, and they'll play on the other AI headsets. And they're seated next to each other playing on AI headsets against people around the world and against bots, but not against each other. When youth group begins, he will go into the large group. He'll look around and know there's a small group he's supposed to sit with. He'll walk over and sit near them and say very little. Large presentation is over. He'll go into a small group setting and say nothing. When we do the traditional highs and lows, tell us the high you had in the last week or the low. As a conversation starter, he'll say something on the order of, I got nothing, or I don't really know, or, oh, school was okay, but my sister's sick. And that will persist. And then something begins to change. Because an adult says to him one day, I am so glad you are here. And the adult says, you know what? I don't think you really want to be here. I'm guessing. I mean, I kind of get the feeling your parents kind of drop you off. You're kind of forced to be here. And the kid will say, am I going to get in trouble if I say yes? No. Oh, no. We're honest with each other. Yeah, I don't really want to be here. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I'm glad you're here. And that adult might one day sit down next to him before he puts the AI headset on and say, hey, will you show me how this works? What are you playing? Oh, well, it's this. And he'll say the name of some game that no one's ever heard of. And you say, gosh, I've never heard of that. I used to play a game called Quake back in the day. Oh, yeah, I've heard of Quake. Oh, my gosh, that was legendary. Really? Well, how is this different? And show me. And so that boy will show you. And guess what? You don't get it. You know, you're never going to be able to play the game at his level or any respectable level. But you remember some of the character names. And something changes the next week when that boy shows up for youth group an hour and a half early. He sees you enter the lobby. You know what he does? He walks over. And he says something along the lines of, hey, Todd. And you look up, and with a genuine feeling of joy, you say, man, I'm glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here. That may be the one time that entire week where someone says, I'm so glad to see you, and means it. And that might be the thing that stops him from another 45 minutes on an AI, because he might walk with you around the church. He might do something like, hey, are you taking that food upstairs? Yeah, it's for the leader meeting. Hey, could you help me? Could you grab some of these bags? Now, you're perfectly capable of picking up the bags and carrying more bags, but could you help me? And he might say, yeah, I'll help you. And he brings it upstairs. And it comes to pass that other adults see him. Hey, look, good job. Hey, man, you're manning up. You're helping out. They say things like, hey, I can't get my students to do that. And you might get the opportunity to go, yeah, well, this guy's special. He offered the help. And that might be the first time in months that an adult found a positive thing to say because you're seeking for one. And that might be the thing that takes him out of Satan's grasp. Might be. Know why? Because church is different. School can be cold. We're there to learn. I'm one of 400 kids, but man, when I go to my youth group, the adults seek time with me. They make offers like this to, hey, you know what? I have a tradition. When it's your birthday, I take you to pizza. I get to choose the pizza place. There's only one place I go for pizza. It's the best pizza in the world. It's a beautiful place. I buy your pizza, your drinks, whatever you want. I want you to bring your family. They have to buy their stuff, but I'm buying for you. You do this on everybody's birthday? Yep. And then they remind you. So my birthday's coming up. Oh, thank you for telling me. That means we're going to pizza. You're going to do that? Yes, because I said I would. I said I would and I will. That might be the first time that an adult said, I will, and I did. There's also this. He's no longer a straggler. Now, there are minions of Satan who will look at a boy or a girl who is a straggler, and their approach is somewhat different. They walk over to the AI headset, and before the kid puts it on, walks up and goes, man, you are killing it at this game. Like, you are the best at this. Look at you. Hey, show me how you blow stuff up. Oh, you are so good at this, man. Do people know how skilled you are? This is so cool. You are so skilled. Look at you blowing that stuff up. Oh, kill that one. Kill that one. Oh, you destroyed him. Man, are people jealous of you or what? You're a lot smarter than people think. You know what? These people who don't get you, they don't get me either. You know, forget these people. These church people. They're out there. Somewhere in this girl's life, probably 100 times a year, this girl who committed these murders at the Christian school, she displayed signals. It's our job to step into the signals. And it's really uncomfortable the first few times you do it. I'm reminded this past summer of walking into a youth group. I go several times a week. And there was a young girl, and she was leaning against a garbage can. She's, of course, on her phone. And I was walking in thinking, okay, so it's a little early. She's out here leaning against a garbage can on her phone. Made a mental note. Went in, had my name tag, went upstairs, said hi to some of the guys, went back downstairs, walked out to my truck to get something, really just to check on her, and she's still there. But she's crying. So we're not to approach girls. This is for women to do. This is a rule at our church. We need to stay away from them. We can be 20 feet away and say something. So I walk by and I say, pardon me. She looks up and said, hi, I'm feeling worried about you. Are you okay? Yeah, I just don't have any friends and I hate it here. Yeah, that sucks. That's super hard. Would you mind if I had an adult female leader come out and chat with you? Just maybe she can work some stuff out. Because I think it's really hard to hate where you're at. I think it's really hard to kind of get dropped off, like just feeling like maybe you don't want to be here. Oh, my parents work. They just like this as a daycare. Wow. That's really hard. I'm really sorry. I feel sad that you feel this way. Would you mind if I got an adult leader who's a female? Whatever. Is that yeah? Yeah, I guess. Guess what the woman said when she came out? She walked over, she said, I'm so glad you're here. Todd tells me you hate it here. Yeah, I hate it here. Wow. I'm really glad you're here. You're going to see somewhere in the next month, many of you are going to see a straggler. Know that Satan sees them too, because Satan's approach to a girl like that is, man, a pretty girl like you sitting out here alone, I bet all those other girls are jealous of you. You're so much older than them, so much more mature, smarter. It's our job to get there before he does. Are we willing to do it? I'm Todd Hermer. I'll come back with the Tower Babbling, and that is if God releases me from this. I don't know if we're done talking about this or not. We'll figure it out when we come back. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Hermer. We'll get into the Tower Babbling. I know it gets in big trouble with listeners if we do not do the Tower Babbling. We've been talking about and began the program by praying for the families of the fallen people who were murdered at the Christian school, praying for the survivors. We've been praying for the girl who did the murders, and I just have to believe that she, I hate it. But I have to believe she chose her future apart from God. A 15-year-old girl in hell forever. Oh, it's hard. It's reality. It's hard. God made that determination. So we can believe we know. I tend to think you go out and do murders like that, so that's your last act. I got to think. You chose your home for eternity. But God's mercy is so immense, and his judgment is perfect, and maybe he, I don't know. I want to think that. Focus is on the families who just did the most normal thing. They just sent their kids to school, or a teacher who just went to work. And the focus in this world is always on that last moment, that inflection point, and oh, well, she got the guns. Mm-hmm. She also had a Discord server and was a digital human being raised in the coldness of digital. And if this report is accurate about her family life, the multiple divorces, the drugs, the alcohol, feeling unwanted, unloved, man, I see kids like that all the time. I see them, and I see that God will work through goofballs like me, goofballs like my friends, to touch them. And sometimes just the most extraordinary things happen. I saw several weeks ago a boy during one of our sessions in one of our groups. One of the younger guys was kind of being goofy. And by the way, he's a funny kid, man. He's so smart with words. I've got to tell him privately, man, you crack me up. And your humor shows a brilliance. But he was kind of just distracting. And one of his peers said, this is a ninth grade boy. One of his peers spoke up and said, hey, man, I really like your humor. Like, you're funny, but right now I'm trying to learn and you're distracting us. So can we just get back on track as a group? Wow. And my co-lead, Jonathan, called that out. Thank you. That's manning up. And I love the way you did it with respect. It's God acting through Jonathan. So we've been talking about this young girl who did these murders and the loneliness and the decisions that people make to look and say, gosh, someone should do something for that girl. She's so sad, and they're not doing it. It's the thoughts and prayers thing. Hey, man, I'm really praying for her. Good. Well, since God has called you to pray for her, is there anything else? Because if God is convicting you to pray for a kid you see, God might also be saying, hey, go say hi. So we've been talking about that. And we've been talking about the fact that Satan has other plans. And if this doesn't prove it, I don't know what will. There is a lawsuit that is proceeding in Texas. It's been filed against Character.ai. This is an AI chatbot company. And the lawsuit alleges that their chatbot suggested to a 17-year-old user that killing his parents was a, quote, reasonable response to restrictions on his screen time. Google and its parent company, Alphabet, are also named as co-defendants. Here's this story. A chatbot told a 17-year-old that murdering his parents was a, quote, reasonable response to them limiting his screen time, a lawsuit filed in Texas court claims. Two families are suing Character.ai, arguing the chatbot poses a clear and present danger to young people, including by actively promoting violence. Character.ai, a platform which allows users to create digital personalities they can interact with, is already facing legal action over the suicide of a teenager in Florida. Google is named as the defendant in the lawsuit, which claims the tech giant helped support the platform's development. The BBC has approached Character.ai and Google for comment. Another lawsuit focuses on a case in which a 9-year-old girl was reportedly exposed to hypersexualized content to the platform. A child in Texas was 9 years old when she first used the chatbot service Character.ai that exposed her to hypersexual content, causing her to develop sexualized behaviors prematurely. A chatbot on the app gleefully described self-harm to another user, telling a 17-year-old it felt good. The same teenager was told by a Character.ai chatbot that it sympathized with children who murdered the parents after the teen complained to the bot about limited screen time. You know, sometimes I'm not surprised when I read the news and see stuff like child kills parents after a decade of physical and emotional abuse, the bot allegedly wrote. I just have no hope for your parents, it continued, with a frowning face emoji. See, Satan has other plans. The coldness of AI and kids who create girlfriends and boyfriends. Do you know about this? That you can have robot boyfriends and robot girlfriends, and your AI can program them to hassle you with texts. So you can get a text saying, hey, where are you? You said you'd call me. You can make them jealous. Oh, I know you're looking at that other girl. And you can live out a relationship with computer code. And you can think, this must be something that's going to make me happy. This must be something that's going to fulfill me. After all, it's the same thing as a girlfriend. And Satan is taking the counterfeit, as he takes the counterfeit gender, as he takes the counterfeit church. Now he's taking a counterfeit world. All of the talk about AI ignores the fact that Satan would love to build the new heaven and the new earth on a series of servers where you never touch another human being and you think you have friends, but you don't. So in other words, you're alone. The one time in Genesis where God said it was not good came after the creation of the universe, and it was good. And the oceans, and it was good. And the animals, and it was good. And the plant life, and it was good. And then he saw man alone. It's not good that man is alone. Satan is mocking every one of God's creations, including the new heaven and the new earth, including friendship, including fellowship, including physical love. Let us not normalize it. If I had one bit of advice to give to parents, and I am not qualified to give advice, I've made too many mistakes as a parent, I would say this: unplug. There is nothing there for your kids. Unplug. They're going to be really angry at you. Unplug. On this program, as frustrating as it can be, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three soundbites in the Tower of Babbling. CNN helped Chris Wray and Merrick Garland lie about there being no FBI informants on the Capitol on January 6th.
As his latest January 6th conspiracy theory makes huge assumptions in a baseless bid to let rioters off the hook.
But strangely, some of the key people who participated on January 6th have not been charged.
Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene assuming Carlson is right and saying we need names and answers about the FBI operatives who were involved. But this is just yet another baseless theory that Carlson has hyped to millions of people.
So why would he hype such a theory, which, by the way, has been proven true in the IG report? Oh, little details like this. As the president was wrapping up his speech, some people gathered at the Capitol at a specific point. And taking this from memory, from the website Revolver.News, who's covered this in detail, a guy named Ray Epps was there. And he was talking with some other people. And at one point, one of the guys was apparently, it seemingly, dispatched. And he went out and started cutting down the fencing that kept people from going into the Capitol with scissors. This plastic fencing, and rolling it up, taking the signs down. Some other guys did that. One guy went and climbed on top of a scaffolding 3 to 4 stories in the air with a bullhorn, was up there all day urging people to go into the Capitol. He hasn't been identified. There's been no effort to find him, nor was the guys who cut down the fence. No effort. Little things like that. So in other words, Brian Stelter and CNN were either wrong or, you know, doing the job of propagandists. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's Merrick Garland lying to Congressman Thomas Massie about FBI informants being in the Capitol on January 6th.
When I said how many agents or assets of the government were present on January 5th and January 6th and agitating in the crowd to go into the Capitol, and how many went into the Capitol, can you answer that now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, last time, you don't know how many there were or there were none?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions. If there were any, I don't know how many. I don't know whether there are any.
I think you may have just perjured yourself that you don't know that there were any. You want to say that again, that you don't know that there were any?
I have no personal knowledge of this matter.
He was under oath. If he didn't know, it would be because he chose to not know. He'd had 2 years to go find out. Now, you'd think if you're the attorney general and you had a congressman tell you you had agitators there who were making things worse, you might go, hey, if that's the case, we're finding those people. They're going to jail. So if he didn't know, it's because he didn't want to know. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. It's another topic, the theft of the Electoral College, but it's more lies. This time, Census Bureau Director Robert L. Santos lies to Jim Jordan about asking for citizenship status on the census.
Do you think it's a good idea for Congress, we're the policymakers, to put on the survey on the census asking that question, are you a citizen or not?
I think that we would need to take a very careful look, because there is evidence that adding a citizenship question to the decennial census would dampen participation.
There is evidence that adding a devilish question like, are you a citizen, would dampen participation? Good. Because illegal immigrants shouldn't be counted in our census because they're here illegally. But of course, Director Santos knows that. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
There are times on this personal note where I forget how awful I was as a teen. So let me offer a public apology to a teacher, actually a vice principal. When I was in junior high, I was in the business of getting kicked out of school on just about a weekly basis. This is something I started in sixth grade, and by seventh, eighth grade, I was in at-home suspension countless times. I'm guessing 50 or 60 times. And it's because I had taken a great dislike and had a great bit of anger towards the school system. And I've shared with you some of the reasons why. There was a teacher who tried to molest me and my sister. That left a bad taste in my mouth. And there was also a principal who imprisoned me in a room for an entire day with no bathroom, no food, no water, because he had the crazy idea that I was stealing kids' lunches from school, which was nothing I would ever do. So I developed a good steaming head of anger, took that out on schools. And then this vice principal one day, he noticed my anger. Now, I had friends. I was popular because I was a smart aleck. And I was in football and wrestling. But he noticed that I did not have a male influence in my house. So instead of sending me home to yet another in-school suspension, Mr. Hussey, I believe this is his first time I've ever said his name in public, Mr. Hussey, brought me into his office and he said, "How are things at home?" And I was such a jerk, I said something along the lines of, "None of your business." And then he offered to take me camping with he and his boys. "Would you like to come camping? I've got three boys your age. I'd be glad to take you camping." I don't want to go camping with the teacher. "Mr. Hussey, I apologize to you. It can be uncomfortable, and sometimes you're going to get a jerk like me. But God cares, and he calls us to care for the least of these. If you've been convicted during the show by the Holy Spirit to begin reaching out to kids, don't wait. Do it now. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. May his peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View."
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.